RMWorldTravel.com is your place for show archives, travel news, sponsor links, and so much more. You can also connect with Robert and Mary and the RM World Travel Show team. Now, back to America's number one travel radio show.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm RJ Carey, and today I am thrilled to welcome a very special guest to the show, the legendary comedian and television host, Jay Leno. Now, he's known for his incredible car collection and passion for all things automotive. And Jay joins us today to talk about a little bit about the Audrey Museum in Newport, as well as share some fascinating stories and insights about the world of cars. So buckle up, let's talk about everything automotive with one of the most enthusiastic car aficionados in the world. But before we do that, I'd like to take a moment to let you all know that today's segment is sponsored by Hilton Grand Vacations. Wherever travel takes you, you'll always feel at home with Hilton Grand Vacations because where you stay will feel more like home than a hotel room. They provide premier travel experiences with spacious, upscale accommodations that include home-like features and resort-like amenities. We like that you can also convert membership points into Hilton Honors points for stays at thousands of Hilton hotels worldwide, and their vacation ownership system enables members all the benefits of owning a vacation home without the responsibilities of traditional home ownership. To learn more, check out HiltonGrandVacations.com, or you can find a link at RMWorldTravel.com under sponsors. So now, let's go over to the show hotline. Jay, it's a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
So, Jay, you're a passionate car guy through and through. Our listeners know that I love all things automotive. I have for as long as I can remember. But I'm curious, let's talk about you. Where did it all start for you? And if so, was there one car that lit the fire?
Well, I grew up in a rural area. I mean, I was born in New York, but my dad quickly moved to New England. He was an insurance salesman. They made a manager of the office. And in Massachusetts, back in the early 60s, there were always broken snowmobiles, there were go-karts, there were cars left in fields, there was always stuff like that, you know. In fact, we had 3 acres on our property, and I remember somebody had abandoned Renault 4CV, one of those little, looks like a Duchesneau, but it's a Renault,
right.
And in a field. And when we were like 12, we got it running. We'd drive around the field. My mother would watch us through the kitchen window, you know. Of course, now they call child services, and your parents get arrested for that type of thing. But back then, it was fairly common, you know. Boys were expected to just kind of know how engines work and how to fix things. And it was great childhood. In those days, you could buy a car for $50 or $25, you know. And if you can get it running, more power to you, you know. So
yeah, these days, you know, if you can buy a gasket for that, you're lucky. So
Exactly.
So we know you're a friend and supporter of the Audrey Museum out in Newport.
Right.
You know, can you tell us a little bit more about your involvement with the museum and what draws you to that part of the country?
Well, I'm from New England, so I bought a house in Rhode Island, and the museum was there, and I got to be friends with Nick, who's a big passionate car guy. Oh, my God. You know, but he's a guy that likes it and can afford it and uses all the cars. So it's a lot of fun. When I was a kid, I worked at a place called Foreign Motors in Boston.
Okay.
And I was the lot boy, you know. In those days when you couldn't afford a car, you would go to work at a dealership where you could just be around the cars, you know. And that was sort of fun. So I made a lot of connections and things like that. And the Audrain puts on, it's sort of become like a Pebble Beach East, you know. It's a pretty high-end event, and they get cars from all over the world. I mean, they really, really do it right. And it's really, for the enthusiasts and people that like cars, I'm not sure if he makes any money doing it, but it's a wonderful experience. And that part of the country, you know, it's interesting. In California, you meet one guy that has hundreds of cars. You have a lot of those kind of collectors. When you go to New England, you meet one guy with one car, and maybe he's had it since high school or just had it a long time. There are certainly big collectors in Massachusetts as well, but you're more likely to get that Yankee spirit of a guy, you know, bought a TR3 when he was in high school, and he's been working on it from the day his kid was born to the day the kid came out of college, you know.
It's
and
so true.
I enjoy that aspect of it.
I can actually relate to that, which is kind of funny because, like, you know, we're out here in the New York area as well, and it is it's kind of a funny phenomenon. Reflecting, though, so to your visits to Audrain, like you said, they are sort of a Pebble Beach East Coast nowadays with their Concours d'Elegance. It's a massive event, great event. Can you recall a particular vehicle that has resonated with you that you've seen over the past few years that concourse has been going on?
Well, I mean, you know, the fun thing about it is, the fun thing about Pebble Beach, you know, the drainage, you see cars you only see in magazines, you know. I enjoy, like, when I'm in the Midwest, I'll go to a car show, and it's fun to see, like, a 66 Pontiac Tempest with the overhead cam 6, and the guys fix it all up. I enjoy that as much as I do looking at Voissons and Bugattis and stuff. Yeah. But when you go to the Ardrain, you see cars that come from Europe that don't normally come to America. Mercedes-Benz will send something over from the classic collection, you know, an SSK or any of those guys. So it's really interesting. It's sort of, I wouldn't say it's overwhelming, but, you know, the Ardrain is just that much smaller than Pebble Beach, so it doesn't get overwhelmed. I mean, sometimes when I go to Pebble, it's so crowded, you're just kind of in line all the time, whereas there's a bit more room to move around at the Ardrain, so I enjoy that.
I can like that. So have you noticed, moving on a little bit, do you think there's a vehicle or era of vehicles that consistently captivates enthusiasts regardless of their background or age? Maybe a decade, let's just say. And if so, what do you think drives that universal appeal?
Well, I think, you know, that constantly changes. I mean, if you grew up in the 60s, it was cars from the 30s, you know. Mm. I mean, I find it amazing now when I go to car shows, you have this Radwood phenomenon of cars from the early 90s, which to me are just used cars, you know. but I realize, you know, when I was 16 in 1966, a Duesenberg was only 30 years old. It was like a car from the 90s now, you right. know what I mean? You know, when I was doing the Tonight Show, one of the kids goes, Elvis, well, I'm an intern. I like cars, too. I said, oh, what kind of cars are you? I said, do you have any antique cars? He goes, oh, yeah. I said, what do you got? He goes, a 2000 Miata. And I went, and it just sort of made me laugh. But I realized he was born in 99.
Oh, so to him, goodness.
You know, that first generation Miata is like a huge deal.
It's a classic car, yeah.
It's a classic car. So that's why it constantly changes. I mean, you see it now probably 15 or 20 years ago, the 57 Chevy with a Fuelie and, you know, a two-door. That was the ultimate sort of classic car. Everybody wanted a 57 Chevy. And you go to the auction, they'd be $200,000.
Right.
Now I see them $65,000, $80,000, because it's sort of moved on, you know. When you talk to young people born after 2000, they get in a 57 Chevy, and they go, why is this steer so hard? Why is it so hard to press the brake, you know? They just don't have enough experience, you know. It's a bit like Model Ts. Model Ts have been the same price almost for the last 40 years because nobody has any experience with them. They have no idea how to drive them. You know, when I was a kid, every old guy grew up on a Model T, and, oh, they want to go back and relive their youth and all that kind of stuff, you know. Nowadays, a Model T is like something from another planet. It's always funny to me to watch a guy get in a Model T and just go right into the hedges because he can't figure out what he's doing.
No, and you know, when you think about it, too, like, the, you know, the guys who were working on and building those cars from the factory, you know, middle-aged guys, they could have been born towards the tail end of the Civil War. I mean, it's kind of just an insane thing to think about. So let's see. What's on the docket for 2024? Do you have anything fresh we can expect to see either at the Ardrain or coming from your garage?
Well, I'm just kind of fixing all the broken stuff here. I'm putting my Doble steam car back together, which is the most complex car in history. Oh my God, this is, you realize what geniuses these early engineers were, and they did it without the aid of computers. You know I've got a 66 Lincoln convertible, and you press that button and you see the top go up and then the trunk opens and then it folds down into it, and then you see the two screws spinning as the trunk comes down and screws into the body to tighten the whole thing up. And you realize this was done with relays. There's no computers. It's really fascinating.
Absolutely.
It's really fascinating to see how they do it. You know?
Yeah, and you know, all with pen and paper, too. No computer modeling, none of that.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So, Jay, I really appreciate the time. You know, I just wanted to wish you a happy holidays, Merry Christmas. Thanks so much for coming on. And, you know, we'd love to have you back. Yeah, of course. The pleasure is ours.
Call me anytime. I'm here.
All right. We'd love to have you back on. Yeah, thank you so much. All right, we appreciate it.
See you at the Ardrain.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, I hope you all enjoyed hearing from Jay as much as I did having him on today's show. And as the checkered flag is waving, that is how I'm going to wrap the open road for 2023. It's been a really fun year. Lots of things that we've talked about and covered during these segments. But now it's on towards Christmas and an entirely new year ahead. If you want to hear the Jay Leno interview again, it should be posted to our show website by about 2 p.m. Eastern today. You can also visit lenosgarage.com. And don't forget, you can send me your automotive-related questions and comments at rmworldtravel.com/contact. I hope all of you tuned in across the country are having a wonderful holiday season. That includes you too, Alaska and Hawaii. But up next is Disney Food Talk will be dished out. And until I'm back with you again as part of our January 20th live broadcast, I'm RJ Carey. Drive on, America.
Today's edition of RM World Travel will be right back. And you can always stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.